As I tell you the story of my life, I don't want to draw attention to myself. I want you to get excited about who my God is. I want you to see how very real He has become to me. And I want you to know that He wants to be involved in your life, in the dailies of your life, and He wants to walk side by side you through that life. Have you ever stopped to think about how many ordinary people there are in the world? Now, I know the magazines and the newspapers are full of beautiful people, but God has made the majority of us ordinary people. But He's in the business of transforming lives and making them into extraordinary people. And what does that do? It makes salt and light in a very dreary world. Now, what does salt do? It accents, it adds flavor, and it makes you thirsty. And what does light do? It illumines and guides the way. And that's the kind of people we can be in this very, very sad world. So many needy people around us. And we can be salt and light to those people. I'm a very ordinary woman. I'm not terribly gifted. Or tremendously gifted, I should say. I do not have an awful lot of capacities, but I believe I have one gift, mainly hospitality. One thing I have pleaded the Lord for through the years is wisdom. And another thing I desperately wanted was to be a godly woman. And I wanted to be a godly woman behind the man that God could use. Now, that's not very popular today, is it? A woman behind a man. But I desperately wanted God to use my husband, Jim. And I am so sold on what we're doing that it's very easy for me to support him, to encourage him, and to push him out. Last night, Jim shared with you his life verse. He is making his life a laboratory from Ephesians 3:20. And it says, "Now unto him," that is, now unto God, "who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory." And you know, gals, my Jim lives that verse. I am a testimony to the fact that he lives that verse. You can imagine how this has affected my life as a wife. And sometimes we've gotten ourselves into some pretty scary situations. And I felt that I needed a verse for myself. I needed something from God because I didn't want to live a mediocre life when I had a husband with a God that big. And so I asked the Lord to give me a verse. And he gave me 2 Chronicles 16:9, which says, "For the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him." And I stopped to meditate on that verse. And it told me that God is looking for people who will be available to him, so that he can show himself strong that He can do mighty things through that person. And I wanted to be one of those people. I just wanted to be available to God. I wanted to go out on a limb for Him. I wanted to get in over my head, because I know that when I'm in over my head and anything comes out of it, He gets the glory and not myself. So, it's been an exciting time. He also told me from 2 Peter 1:3 that He has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and to godliness. To life means the physical. He would provide everything I could possibly need for my physical life and well-being. And He would also give me everything I needed for my spiritual life, anything that pertains to godliness. Jim and I met at Northwestern College in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I worked for 4 years at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Jim was studying fine arts at both Bethel and the University of at Bethel College and the University of Minnesota. We were youth directors in our home church when we got in contact with the Navigators. After some time in the Navigator ministry in Minneapolis, they asked us if we would come and stay at Glen Eyrie for a period of time and see what God had in mind for our future. We were praying about going somewhere out of the United States as missionaries. We had prayed about going to Africa. We'd prayed about Germany or France or the Philippines. But it was none of the above. God had another plan, which He was soon going to reveal to us. And we came out to Glen Eyrie. Brazil at that time was very much in the news, in part because João Goulart was the new president and he was leaning toward communism. He also surrounded himself with men to the far left. And the news also told us that the sleeping giant was coming, was awakening. And so that's always exciting. What can happen in a big country like that? Brazil was going to become one of the leading powers, it appeared. And so Jim and I prayed that God would keep the doors open in Brazil for the gospel. And we began to ask Him if that's where He would have us to go. Jim was here at the Glen and in charge of the work crews. Now, those crews are the ones that keep the lawns up and that run pretty much everything on the outside at Glen Eyrie. And one day he met a man who was visiting the Glen who was a Brazilian. And of course, there again, his ears perked up, and he began to ask this man some questions about Brazil. And the man said, "The thing that Brazil needs the most are some men of integrity in leadership." Well, the wheels began to turn, and Jim thought, that's something we, as Navigators, can do something about. The next day, Jim was out at the horse barn, rounding up the horses, and he was bareback with a halter, and the horse he was on took off lickety-split across the corral and came to a dead stop, and Jim went over, head over heels, into a pile of rocks. You know the joke about the mule? When you want to get a mule's attention, sometimes you have to get a 2x4 and hit him over the head, and you get his total attention. I was in Echo Rock Cabin, which is right back here, this little cabin behind us, preparing our evening meal when the phone rang. And the voice on the other end said, "Marge, are you alone?" And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm here with my little girl." And the voice said, "Well, I don't want to startle you, but I have some bad news." Well, I thought, what bad news can this be? And he said that Jim has suffered an accident out at the horse barn, and they have taken him to the hospital. He was unconscious. As soon as we have some news for you, we will get in touch with you. My immediate response was a verse that God gave me in the TMS some years before, from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." As I hung up the phone, my battle began. My mind went racing. Many, many fears. I said, "Lord, you know, I'm really not thankful this happened. And the only reason I'm saying it is because you've asked me to. And I'm just saying thank you out of obedience to your word. My emotions aren't there. And fears just overwhelm me. And I thought, what will happen? Will I be a widow? Will Michelle be without a father? Will Jim be mentally impaired?" Needless to say, my supper took secondary importance at that point. And I battled the gamut of doubts and fear before the Lord. And once again, it was an opportunity to put our lives on the altar before God. How can I really know that I trust God until I have to go through something that size? How can I be sure I'm trusting Him for His very best for me until that trust is put to the test? Another verse that came to my mind is during those moments of battle was from 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I'm sure most of you know that. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you will be able to bear it." That accident gave the Lord Jim's undivided attention for the next 6 weeks. And he was meditating on Psalm 2, and it seemed that through that psalm, the Lord confirmed to Jim that, yes, He did want us to go to Brazil. Now, as a wife, I was very positive about going. But I really wanted a verse. I wanted something very, very specific from the Lord for myself. And one morning I had the loudspeaker on over here at Echo Rock, which sometimes tunes in to the Great Hall where a conference is going on. And that particular morning, the verse the Lord used was from John 8, verse 12, where He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And so that was a tremendous promise to me that I didn't have to have doubts. I didn't have to wonder, but what God was going to show us clearly, I could trust Him because He said we would have the light of life. And so I thanked Him for that verse. But you know what? He never did give me a verse that said, Marge, go. I want you to go. You know what he gave me? He gave me peace. He gave me the most tremendous peace I have ever experienced in my life. And I think that might be a principle that for us who are wives, God doesn't necessarily lead us in the same way that he leads our husbands. He may have a different manner, but I do think that when the Lord shows the husband the way, it's our place to follow. I think it's tremendously important to us to have some scriptures to back up our lives and to back up our decisions, because when we go out and get into tight places, we know that God has put us there for a purpose, and he's going to see us through that particular crisis. God does not lead us out, but what he also goes before us. Isaiah 45:2. Well, Jim and I packed up our belongings, about 5 barrels, 2 crates, and a 2.5-year-old little girl, took a ship and went to Brazil in 1963. When we got there, I think my family's main, and many people were a little bit uptight about this because I was 5.5 months pregnant, and they wondered, well, do they have any doctors? Or is it all really wild down there? But I think I was probably the most calm and cool of everyone in of our friends and family, because I thought, if there are 72 million Brazilians, they must get through delivery okay. So we went off to Brazil and went into the city of Campinas, which had a language school for missionaries. And there we spent 11.5 months studying the language, Portuguese. And from there, we were praying about where we should go to begin our ministry. And we checked into the huge city of São Paulo, which is probably the third largest in the world. Today, it has 16 million population. But that, we saw the complications of getting into a large city like that. And everyone else thought that's where we should begin the Navigator ministry. But we saw complications. And we decided that we should go to a smaller city. And so we went on further south to Curitiba. And it seemed there that the main manpower pool was the university students. There again, people said, you're crazy. University students? Nobody can get through to them with the message. And you can probably guess that when somebody says, no, you can't, my Jim says, okay, let's try it. Ephesians 3:20 again. And so we decided to start with the university students. As I look at my ministry, I believe that Jim provides the content and I provide the context. We love working together. And so our ministry has almost always taken place in our home. And I had 4 children. I could not be out running hither and yon, leading Bible studies across the city. So I asked the Lord to bring my ministry to my door, and he did just that. I wondered how long it would take for us to fill our living room. But it was exciting to see one contact would bring another contact, and another contact would bring his friends, and then pretty soon they began bringing their girlfriends. And it wasn't too many years until the Lord had granted our heart's desire, and he was filling our home with young students. One huge test of our faith of in 1967-68, well, we had a few before that. Our little girl, Michelle, was 5 years old, and she came down with hepatitis. Her hepatitis lasted for 1 month, and have you ever tried to keep a five-year-old in bed and quiet? That takes a lot of time. But the next test was when I acquired hepatitis. It was a chronic infectious hepatitis that put me to bed for 6 months. When I found out that's what it was, and the doctor said, well, probably at least 3 to 4 weeks, I thought, well, that's a long time, but let's go at it, Lord. You know this is going to be a wonderful time. I'm going to learn a lot from you, and I'm going to get a lot of reading done, and I'm going to get a lot of letters written. Well, the 1 month went by, and every 2 weeks we did blood tests, and those blood tests came back with four pluses every time. Month after month after month. Now, the doctor said, when it gets down to two pluses, I will consider that you are healed, and then you can get up part-time and convalesce. But during that time, I thought, you know, Lord, I really feel like you've abandoned me. Don't you realize we have a ministry to carry on? And Jim and I learned another very, very important lesson. The Holy Spirit carried on that ministry very, very well without us. People grew. Jim would spend time with the fellows as much as he could, but his time was very limited because he became chief cook and bottle washer during those 6 months as well. But the Lord was faithful. And finally, one day, we were down to three pluses. And then 2 weeks later, at last, a victory. It was down to two. Well, I was so excited. And spent the next 6 months convalescing. Now, you realize that's a year out of my life? It was really hard. But those are priceless lessons that we can learn if our antennas are up and if we're trusting God for His very best for us. You know, perhaps some of you have had another struggle that I have had. I've often struggled with my own self-worth. Have any of you had that battle? And this led me into many, many crises. The enemy is the greatest liar in existence. And too many times I listened to his lies. He would sneak in and whisper to me so many times, even in the middle of the night. I'd have to fight him off. And sometimes those battles that I had with the enemy were day and night, moment by moment. God had a remedy. I had two precious children, a son and a daughter. But God used his 2x4 once again in a very precious way to get my attention and tell me how very much he loved me. He gave me twin baby girls. I was 38 years of age. He took me during that delivery to the valley of the shadow of death. But when he brought me back, he confirmed his love to me so well that I never, ever, ever have had to doubt that love again. I have loved you with an everlasting love, Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. It's Jeremiah 31:3. In Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. And when you find me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I would like to share with you some personal lessons of God's faithfulness to me. 2.5 years ago, I began to ask the Lord to show me his character. I wanted to know him in my daily walk, who God really, really is. And I wanted to see him in his power and in his might. I wanted to see him in his comfort. I wanted to see him in his majesty. I wanted to see him in his forgiveness. Every aspect of God's character I wanted to experience in my life. And I would go hungrily to the scriptures to see who he really is. The thing that I think the one area of his character that he has been revealing over and over again to me personally is his faithfulness. And I want to share with you just a few experiences where he has proven himself faithful to me. In 1980, the Lord allowed us to build a home. It was our first home. And that home was ready to move into. We came back to the U.S. on a 7-week furlough, and Jim had to stay on. So I went back to Brazil with my children to make our move into our new home. One night I was sleeping, anticipating that move and getting all excited about it, when in the middle of the night, I woke up drenched with perspiration. I was in panic, total panic. I was trembling. And I tried to figure out what was going on. When I realized the enemy was attacking me. And he told me, he says, Marge, you can't go out there. You're going to be robbed. You're going to be attacked. And our home, our new home, was in a new development area. There were no neighbors around. But I knew that God had told us to build that house. I knew that he gave every detail and perfect guidelines that we should go and build that home and move into it. Jim was not there. I couldn't lean on him. So in my panic, I said, Lord, please give me something. Help me. I need your help. And I opened the Word. I didn't know where to look, but he had it such that I would open to Psalm 34, verse 6 and 7. Would you look at that with me, please? This is a very, very exciting experience in my life. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good, Marge. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. I could not believe my eyes when I saw this verse. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And I thought, Lord, you are going to encamp around that home. You are going to be our protection. A tremendous peace came over me once again. I got up and changed my nightie, which was drenched, and went back to sleep like a baby. Do you know that we made the move out to that home. And every day I would hold up this promise to the Lord and thank Him for it. And I'd say, Lord, I know Your guardian angel is out there on that wall. I cannot see them. I don't know how many there are. But I know they're there, and I thank You. And I did this for the last 5 years, ever since we moved out there. His angels were protecting us and delivering us from the evil ones. Another night, while we were there, again, you know, fear or victory is not always a one-time thing, right? The battles keep coming. The enemy keeps attacking. And another night, while we were there, and Jim was traveling, I had another attack of panic and fear. And I recognized it for what it was. It was the enemy again. And I sat up on the side of the bed, and I grabbed my Bible, and I asked the Lord for some more verses. And scripture memory is a marvelous thing, because if you have scriptures tucked away in your subconscious and in your mind, He has a tool that He can draw out and use in our lives. And so the next verse He showed me was Numbers 23:19. And I thought about the promise from Psalms 34 about the angels out there. And then you know how sometimes you can doubt for a second? But He said, Marge, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not spoken, and will He not do it? Or hath He said, and will He not make it good? Thank You, Lord, with a big sigh. And another verse that He gave me immediately following that was Isaiah 55:11. My word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that whereto I have sent it. And I just thanked Him again for the promise back in Psalm 34:6-7 and 8, that the angels were out there, and they, though I cannot see them, I can trust Him, and He will protect us. I have seen the Lord's faithfulness to my children in very, very marvelous ways. We claimed a verse in Mark for our family that says, you have not left fathers, mothers, homes, friends, lands, cattle, etc., but what I will restore 100-fold. And in that verse is included the children. And as we went back to Brazil after a 2.5-year term here in Colorado Springs, we really went through the mill again. Adapting to the culture, we had lost a tremendous amount of our language capacity, and we just had that verse again to hang on to. And reminded the Lord again, don't forget our kids. Remember, Lord, You led us here, and we're counting on You to be faithful to our children. At that time, they were 15, 12, and 6. Well, I saw Michelle. The Lord revealed Himself to her in so many ways. She was in high school, and when you finish high school, you take a university entrance exam, and it is terribly difficult, and there are very few who pass, because there are so few universities available that there are more students than they can handle. And so they make this terrible exam that you have to pass in order to get into the university. Well, Michelle was going into architecture, but 3 weeks before the exam, she changed her mind, because she's a very people-oriented person and not a desk person. And we thought, Lord, if You want her in this, You're going to have to do a miracle, because she had not studied particularly for the biological sciences. She had taken humanities. Well, as the Lord would have it, she passed that exam and was accepted into the university. And I have seen that girl come from a shy, quiet little gal into a very well-respected and a gal who could verbalize and converse on a really intelligent level with her friends who were atheists and leftists at the university. And only God can do that. Then there was my son Todd. When he was 15, I began to be so concerned about him because he didn't have any Christian friends. And you know, a kid needs to see God in his own life. He can't live on the faith of his parents forever. He has to have experiences with the Lord for himself. And I began to ask the Lord to bring someone into Todd's life who would lay him to heart and who would help him in his walk with God. And the Lord did that. And many, many other ways I have seen the Lord's faithfulness to my son Todd. Another experience that Todd had was when he had to sign up for the Brazilian military because he was born there. So he has dual citizenship. And when he's 18, he has to serve. Whether you're in high school or college or whatever, they want you to serve. And we took this to the Lord and thought that Todd had already suffered enough setbacks with our many changes from culture to culture and so on, that it would be better for him to continue his schooling and be exempt from the military. But I thought maybe God has something special for Todd in the military. He reported for duty, and as he went through his physical exam, he got up on the scales, and the sergeant who was examining said to him, do you, I'm trying to think of the word, it only comes to me in Portuguese, is it really important to you that you serve in the military? Would you really like to do that? And Todd said, well, sir, I would prefer to continue my studies, but I am willing to serve. And the fellow wrote down a few notes on the paper, and he said, go get on your clothes and go home. We knew that God had shown himself in Todd's life. And then came time for my 15-year-old twins. They didn't have any Christian friends, but they had been to school from first grade up into high school, first year of high school, with the same kids. And they had prayed so much for their friends. And I thought, now, Lord, these girls need to know that your hand is on their lives. They need to see your power working in their lives and through them. They need to know that they're valuable to you. And so I asked him for something special for them. Well, they had been praying for these friends, and there was a Young Life camp coming up last July, a year ago now. And the director came to us and asked the girls if they would like to go, and they said, oh, we really would. Could we bring some of our friends? And he said, well, sure, that's what it's for. And so they went around and asked about 10 of their friends if they would go to the camp. It ended up that two fellows and two girls went with them. They spent a week. And the seventh day when those kids came back and got off that bus, I asked them one by one, how was it? And they hugged me as tight as they could. And they said, Tia, Auntie, this has been the most fantastic week of my life. They had met Christ at the camp. My girls were exuberant. They were bubbling. And you know that a group of those kids would come to our house at least four times a week to study the Bible or just to be around or just to encourage one another. And I felt like a new era was upon me. And I loved it. I just loved having those kids come over. And I'd feed them, and I'd take them places and we'd do a lot of things together. When we left in December, 4 months later, that group had grown to 15. 15 of their friends had come to know Christ. And as we get letters from those friends now, the group has grown to 26 people. And they're continuing to grow and reach out. And I just can't tell you how exciting it is to see God at work daily in my own life and then in the life of my children. He's real. He's powerful. You know that verse that Jim shared last night in Ephesians, I believe it's 1:19. We have that same resurrection power available to us gals that raised Jesus from the dead. Do you believe that? I'd like for you to get a hold of that truth because it's going to transform your life. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you. In closing, I would like to leave just two thoughts with you. We didn't leave Brazil because we wanted to, or because we were asked to. Our hearts are still there. We left Brazil because God has another step for us to take. And we have to do that one by faith as well. Jim is going to be helping oversee and direct the ministries in Africa. Remember I told you we prayed about going to Africa? Okay, here we are, 23 years later, getting involved in Africa. And he's also helping with the ministry in the Middle East. But there are many things to be done right here. And so, at least for a time, we have settled in here to Colorado Springs. Now, Jim has his plate cut out for him, but the rest of us are trying to find out what's next for us, Lord. But it's exciting, and I know he's going to reveal his will to me and to each one of my children in turn. I think Paul summarized the way I feel in Ephesians 3, 7, and 8 when he said, God has given me the wonderful privilege of telling everyone about this plan of his. And he has given me his power and his ability to do it well. Just think, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the most useless Christian there is, yet I was given the special joy of telling the Gentile Brazilians the glad news of the endless treasures available to them in Christ. When I came across this just a couple of months ago, it really excited me. I thought, Paul, you have expressed my feeling so well, and I just want to share it with you. And then another thing that I was sitting one night on my bed, and the Lord just seemed to show me something. And he told me that what God does with my life does not depend on who I am, or my capacities, or my talents. But what God does with my life depends upon how much I allow him to be who he is in my life. Can you get a hold of that? We're ordinary people, but we have an extraordinary God. What God does with my life does not depend upon who I am, or my capacities, or my talents. But what God does with my life does depend on how much I allow him to be who he is. Shall we pray? Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of sharing with these ladies what you have done in my life, how very important you are to me, and that you can take someone who is just willing and available and use them in an unbelievable way. And I pray, Lord, that you would give these girls courage to step out by faith and allow you to be an extraordinary God in their lives. Give us the faith to believe you for the next step and the courage to follow through, that your name may be glorified. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.